All right, ladies and gentlemen, as I told you, Bob Kling couldn't be with us in the studio tonight, but I wanted Bob to give his perspective of the transition of government. Bob, what do you think is going to be? Well, give me your feelings on this entire inaugural day and everything.
Well, I think that, you know, obviously there's been a lot of hoopla, a lot of fanfare, you know, especially it is a historical time with the first African-American president in our U.S., so it's clearly that is something historical. But I wonder how long it's going to be until the reality begins to sink in. The first thing that I would have to say is I do think that he's quite inexperienced. He only has 2 years of experience in the Senate, and I think that his choices for cabinet would indicate to me, this is my personal thoughts on it, that he didn't even have a plan. In the event I become president, this is my plan. I don't think he had a plan. And I think that's why he had to react to a lot of the Clinton administration people and move them from one position to another position and bring many from the Clinton administration. I see both in him and in Joe Biden feminized males. With the issue that happened with Joe Biden's wife running her mouth on the Oprah show, where basically my take on that was she had the show and she was quite outspoken, and if you go on the YouTube and watch it, you'll see she's got a big mouth. And this lady very boldly, the reason that the slip-up happened was because she wanted to announce to the American people that I was the one who picked our VP and our Secretary of State, that my husband was given the choice, and I told my husband it would be better for our family if you're the vice president. So I was the one who basically set Biden as VP and Hillary as Secretary of State.
Wow.
Part of the reason being that I didn't want my husband gallivanting all over the world chasing a bunch of other women in a bunch of other countries where I could keep him close to home. I do believe he's got a history of such.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay.
And again, he's feminized because although he said shush, then she noticed what she had said and what she had let slip out, and then she basically threw caution to the wind and said, well, that's the way it was. He was given that choice, and so this is what I told him, and then she continued to run her mouth. So basically, you're talking about a woman not in the typical role of a wife, but whose husband tells her, you need to shut your mouth right now, and then she just throws caution to the wind and says, well, heck with you. I got a story to tell, and it's about me.
So you think that that's indicative of the administration itself, like VP, like president. So,
I think Barack is even more feminized than Biden, to be honest. I think he's a very weak male, and he's got an extreme bulldog for a wife.
Mm.
As we saw with Clinton administration, where so many accused Hillary of wearing the pants in the family and being the brains behind the organization, I think that's actually possibly more so the case in this administration.
All right, and so you're not equating this to the rumors that were circling around Washington, D.C. when Ronald Reagan got ill and Nancy stepped in to take charge. How do you separate the two?
Well, I mean, I think I think to some degree that happens, especially when you have an inexperienced president.
Okay.
And you do have sort of a machine in place that says, okay, well, you don't really have the reins here, and so we're going to do a lot for you. And you've also seen that in the transition that a lot of the Bush policies that Barack was so opposed to have already been continuing to be implemented, and you know, Barack making excuses that, well, you know, we have to have change, but, you know, we can't do it all at once. And so you see him backpedaling. You see him backpedaling the tax issue, because if he taxes as aggressively as he promised to tax, then he would completely crash the economy. And so all of a sudden, when they're saying, you do that, and then it's all the blame is going to happen to you, then he says, you know, we have to scale back and maybe not be as ambitious as what we originally expected to be.
You know, one of the things that Mark and I was talking about, Bob, and we pointed it out, we were reading some articles from other pundits about not only the administration, but some of the embarrassing statements. There was a black female commentator, Brazil, I think her name is, and where she was on ABC News from the CNN vantage point, where she had taken the little blue cloth that President Obama had on his chair, and she had made a joke about it. This is on the YouTube also, about her stealing the cloth or taking it. And one of the ABC commentators said, well, he jokingly said whether she could be accused of stealing or something. And she made the statement in a very negative way to me, saying, well, we have a black president now, so that's not thievery. Bob, what's really bothered me during this whole thing is seeing how black people seem to throw all kind of decency to the wind, because you got a black man in the White House now. And that is totally insane. My feelings, Bob, are just as strong as they were prior to him being elected, because this thing is going to get volatile now. There's a lot of people angry on both sides. On the African-American side, the African-Americans have this attitude. Well, we have a black man in the White House now, so all protocol and all decorum changes. And man, have you picked that up at all?
Yeah, I know. I think that is true. There's and there's just a little bit of a different vibe, if you will. A little more of a swagger.
Yes.
That is happening, like this is our time now.
Yes. You can see that in the balls that he attended, the way that he was dancing, the way that the people responded to him, and he kind of, like, with his body language, okays it. This is not the swagger of a chief of state. It's a swagger like when Castro took over after Batista was kicked out.
Yes.
It's that kind of thing that I'm picking up. And you would not expect that in the changing of the guard in the presidency. And it's problematic to me. And I just wanted to know if you had sensed the same thing.
No, I do sense it.
Wow.
And then also, in addition, just the way that Bush was sent out, that there was a lot of chants.
Oh, yeah, that was...
Of the song, you probably heard that song, Na Na Na.
Uh-huh, yeah, yeah.
Hey, 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 goodbye.
Right. I mean, that kind of...
Goodbye and good riddance.
Yeah, that kind of disposition out of... But those were ignorant people. You see, and that's what's going to start some trouble, I think, in our country. Because when you have ignorant people... being televised, and no one within that group, skin color or culture of that people saying that is uncalled for.
Right.
It gives the appearance that everybody black agreed with that.
Right.
And Bush, right, like it or not, was the chief of state. And you don't treat anyone like that. The same thing happened because the vice president hurt his back. And he was up in the area there in a wheelchair. And people were mocking him. I mean, this is one of the most disgusting. Man, if this is the way, and I said it on the webcast to black people, and I don't mind them hearing it, but if this is the way that black people are beginning to respond to their chief of state, to the first black president, it looks like that's a picture of what it's going to be for this man's whole duration. Now,
right.
I was telling Mark.
Well, I mean, it even started back when Barack made the hand gesture with respect to Hillary Clinton, or when do you know what I'm talking about? Where? Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes.
Where he was scratching his face with his middle finger.
Absolutely. Man, that
and then once the people laughed about it, then he understood that they got his joke, and then he smirked and laughed about the whole thing, like, you know.
I mean, that was a disgusting. That showed the character of the individual.
Right.
You see, and it's obvious that this man is no Christian. It is obvious. But, man, I mean, with a ghetto mentality that he would do that.
Right. Yeah.
Oh.
Well, I mean, the Bible talks about, you know, right when poor people take power. It's in the Old Testament. Do you know what I'm saying?
I'm not sure. But when poor people take power, what?
That they oppress. That they oppress people.
Oh, well, that's natural logic. Whenever you have someone, they're going to oppress the ones that they felt oppressed them. You see, the change of the guard in this country is not about now I'm in power and I can oppress you. That would be like if we had a Mexican president, what would you expect of him? You see what I'm talking about?
Talking about Villaraigosa?
Yeah, he was there. There was a lot of them that were there. It's just problematic to me, Bob. I'm you know, Mark and I were looking at it. There's a lot of good points that some people email me with, but the most disturbing points in the email that I've gotten is that there's a lot of people angry about this.
Right. Well, yeah, and it is disturbing as you and I see the breakdown where there's no dignity and no respect for the office.
Yeah. Basically.
And it's, you know, okay, you didn't agree with his policies, you voted him out, that's what our system allows you to do, you did it, congratulations. And it's one of the things that I tell Liz all the time, is that there's only one thing worse than a sore loser, and that's a sore winner.
Yeah, yeah.
People are very, very poor winners.
Yes.
Rather than showing class and dignity in their victory, then they show actually their lack of class and lack of dignity in their victory.
Yes. Wow. Boy, that speaks.
I don't mean that as a racial thing. I just mean it as a in general, the liberals generally, that's the way they act.
Wow. That speaks volumes, Bob, because what that does is that also displays how the man is going to do his diplomacy. Once he starts dealing with foreign leaders and he doesn't get his way. I mean, that diplomacy is going to spread kind of like an arrogant behavior. Okay, I have the power, and I'm going to whelm it this way. It's a little bit like John Kennedy's last final words that he said to his wife after he was shot the first time. Oh, my God, they shot me. In other words, surprised that they would even do something like that. It's the arrogance that is not supposed to come with the office. And there were some things that Mark and I were looking at on the YouTube where some black rappers were using derogatory negative terms, saying that speaking just grotesquely about George Bush and using the same derogative terms, saying that they have a black and then use the derogative terms such and such and such in the White House now. And I was saying to Ramsey, why doesn't Obama, and this is all over the YouTube, and I'm asking the question, why doesn't Obama condemn these people like Jay-Z and these other people that were making these statements? He will not condemn the most ignorant element in the African-American society.
Well, again, you know, you got to go back to him being a feminized male. I mean, he was raised by his grandma, and he isn't about to confront anybody. And the other thing that we see also is that numerous people I've seen is you don't see somebody that's sure of himself.
Yeah, now this is a very important point that you raise, because when you're dealing with world leaders, you have to, you may speak a pretty good speech talking about if you mess with us, we'll get you back. Well, that was just to affirm the military. That's what that was. But when it comes time to do something like that, you have to stand up. You raise a very important issue, Bob, because if Biden couldn't even shut his own wife down, and if Obama's wife is going to be that kind of dominant factor in making those decisions, it is going to strictly, flat out, feminize America altogether.
Yes, absolutely.
And therefore, it was a part of the plan to do that.
Sure.
That is crazy. That because once that happens, that the men, then therefore the men would have to just abdicate their thesis of being in charge for the sake of peace.
Well, then they're making it appear that one of the first things that's going to be on the agenda is gay marriage.
Well, of course. Ah. I hope I didn't lose him.
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I my goodness. But the gay marriage thing, Bob, you know that's gonna happen. I was speaking on the webcast tonight with Mark, and I said, look, Christians, we don't believe in gay marriage. We don't believe in that kind of stuff. Oh, this is what Mark and I discussed. We said, because we read some of the agendas, and one of the part of Obama's agendas is that he believes that gays should be able to adopt children. Mark and I talked about 15, 20 minutes about the disastrous role that not only destroys, like if, you know, you got a son and the son sees his two daddies making out, vice versa, you know, the son is ruined. And you've got to know that the two gay daddies are going to talk with the son and try to make that a normative thing. And thereby doing that, they're destroying the human life of that child. Because what it's doing is making the natural relationship between a man and a woman an abnormal thing when you allow gays to adopt children arbitrarily, you see. And I was asking Mark this question. You would ask the gay couple, would you affirm your son if he condemned your relationship with each other? Because if that boy grows up and he's adopted out of an orphanage, let's say when he's 12 years old, and he isn't moved to that, and he condemns the relationship, even though Barack says that he's for loving couples adopting, same-sex couples adopting children. Would Barack and Michelle like two lesbians to raise their daughters?
Right.
You see, that's the inevitable question. These are the kinds of questions that you ask the persons, and then when you see Barack take a back step to it, you know, it's interesting that you say that, because I know that the chief of states in most of these countries have to compromise themselves in order to get what they want. But to compromise the whole nation?
Mm-hmm.
That's dangerous, Bob. That's dangerous. A nation with no men standing up. You know, it's like I said, when Jay-Z and that other clown was making those statements, you would expect the president of the United States to make a statement that says, I won't mention the names, but anyone that uses any names of people in a derogatory or negative fashion, though they gave me, because I understand that Jay-Z gave millions to his campaign.
Absolutely.
I mean, these people gave millions of dollars to put this man in office.
Right.
And then they use their stage as an opportunity to spew out the most ignorant type of racial explanatives against their own leader. Man, that is self-hatred of black men on other black men. That is the worst kind of...
But the reason they're doing it is because the media is glorifying it and they're making big bank doing it, so...
Jeez, man, that is...
Look,
we have lost it. I feel a sense that I don't even want to look at the news anymore. I mean, it's like, what, man, did you hear Hillary's statement as she took her office as Secretary of State?
Right.
I mean, she's sounding like a man, talking about we need to get busy and do. Wait a minute. I said, this is a woman. See, she is vying for the masculine position, but she sounds like a lesbian when she talks like that.
Of course. Well, she had lesbian affairs when she was in college, so
yeah, well, there you are.
I think her and Bill's marriage is just window dressing, and they allow each other to run around with other girls.
Well, wow, that's, you know, we are living in terrible times, Bob. It's just terrible times. Well, listen, I want to thank you for your comments. I just, at this second, uploaded part 3, and you'll be part 4 of tonight's webcast. I really appreciate you taking some time. But, you know, I'll tell you like I told the folk on my part of the webcast, don't let it upset you to the degree that we forget that we are obligated to follow Christ fully. That is our main objective.
Well, yeah, and that's regardless of the tide and waves that we are fighting against, and regardless of the message that may be used against us.
Yes.
We mustn't lower ourselves to that level. We mustn't use the same types of tactics. We mustn't use the derogatory cutting down statements or or physicality in order to keep our head above water. If we're supposed to go underwater, we go underwater, but we maintain integrity and we maintain the high road, which is the calling of Christ, in all of our dealings, and just basically never lower ourselves to those levels in spite of the fact that those levels are winning out.
Yeah, absolutely correct. And that's what I pray that we'll do, is we'll just keep our heads in the Word of God. And, man, Bob, I just want to end up with this. It is not hard for me to be a man but I know just from personal examples that I've experienced within the past 48 hours, when you do speak like a man in front of people, I find it extraordinary that the people that are around you try to correct you and don't want you to speak like a man.
Absolutely.
They don't want you to tell the truth. And not even 24 hours ago, Bob, I had to correct someone, and they were a female, and I had to correct them harshly and let them know that no one dictates to me on what to do. And I had a couple of males tell me, oh, she was hurt by what you said. And I looked at the males and said, that's the problem with
right,
you guys in this.
You?
Yeah, right. That's the problem with you men in this society. You are not concerned about how she feels. You will not allow that kind of language and behavior to take place. See, and that's what we men have given up. We have given it up. And you know what? When that happens to me, Clink, it turns me completely off. I don't even want to talk with a female like that.
Right.
Now,
right.
Think about our Secretary of State over there trying to talk bad to other people and other men in other countries like that.
Well, yeah, other men in something like Muslim countries.
There you go. Let her go over there and talk like that. Man, they may turn her and the table over when she opens up because she's out of line.
Right.
Man, that whole thing won't work. And putting someone in an office like that because they have political power, that's where we've lost our mind in this country. And then these women will think, well, I'm just as... No, you're not. You know, this is going to be the craziest thing. Now, you got a feminized male president, and you got a masculine female in one of the most powerful positions in the country. And now you have a military that's going to be sitting on their hands because now the president's going to shut down. Man, what do you do when you get enemies of the state now? Where are we going to send these prisoners, Bob, that they're going to set free? No other country wants them. They're terrorists.
Well, we won't have any enemies of the state.
As long as there are human beings, there will be enemies of the state, and we will feel their wrath. And I'm just, you know, I just hate to say it, Bob, but I just feel that this country may be setting itself up for a military coup, man. This thing is ugly.
Yeah.
It is very, very ugly. Well, I'll be waiting to see what my listeners think. Maybe we can just keep praying it. but the liberals have won the day, and this is the world that we've created for ourselves.
Right.
Hopefully not as Christians. Well, again, Bob, thank you. Let's see. We've been at it for a good, let me look at my time thing here. Yeah. All right. Yeah, we've been at it for about a good 30 minutes. I appreciate your call and looking forward to seeing you on Sunday.
Okay. Oh, and off the record.
Okay.
Want to turn off the tape?
Yeah, let me turn it off right now.